Hanukkah Sameach world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Vov. We're holding on the bottom of Tzadik Hei Amud Beit, and what we were just discussing in our few minutes ago when we last met, always feels like it's right up to date. What we were just discussing was the question of whether there is a way to kosher pots that were made out of cheres. So we said, actually, there is, theoretically, and that would be to fill them up with coals. And if you would do that, if they were burning hot, then as we saw, you could actually be metayer them from anything that was in them, because there's a difference between the just heating up something from the outside and heating it up from the inside. So we came out, halacha lemaisa, that because of the fact that a tanur, which is made out of cheres, the normal way in which it's handled is you put the fire on the inside of the tanur. And therefore, a tanur can indeed be actually used again if it was fired up between uses and the first use was of something not kosher. But when it comes to a pot, theoretically you could do that, but we have a gezerah. And the gezerah is, we're chayshinan, that maybe chayis alayot mitavrim. The person is afraid that they'll break from the extreme heat, since they're not normally used in that fashion. And there's a big difference between heat that's coming on the same surface that the blia was made, and the heat that's coming on the outside surface, which cannot be mitayer the feres. This is what we came out with yesterday. To the Gemara portend today on the bottom, that since that's true, this is a direct continuation of our words yesterday, Yilkachai Kuvya. So what they used to have, making a certain type of bread, they have this container that was completely surrounded. Imagine a cylinder that wasn't precisely a cylinder. It was like, you know, a type of hollow stone. You could fill it up with dough, put it into a fire, and that way it would bake. Now, it's an interesting approach to baking, and it's used even today. Well, it used to be used in what they called here a sear pella, which they would turn into an oven by having this container and then putting the container directly on the fire, and the fire would bake in it. Before ovens were common in Israel, most homes couldn't own an oven, so they would either bring the dough to a local oven, the baker, and if not, they would use this marvelous sear pella, as it was called. Very popular one, Spanava. So this kuvia, the problem with it is that it is not usually heated up from the inside. It's heated up from the outside, which means that you will not be able to kasher it according to this new gezerah that Rav was talking about yesterday, that we do not allow you to kasher cheres bibifrin, because we're chayes alayo de betafri. We're afraid you're not going to heat it properly, and therefore won't really be kosher. Now, understanding what we do, how do you explain the fact that the Torah has actually made it necessary for us to break kli cheres? Why in the world should we break kli cheres? If, in fact, we can actually kasher this kli cheres, then why don't we? All we need to do is kederot shel migdash, amai yishaveru, nadrinu lekivshonot. So now there's a number of different levels we need to think about. Remember, we were not at all sure earlier whether the din of cooking has to do necessarily with blia. We never actually answered that question. If you just cook inside of a kli cheres and you didn't allow any absorption, so it was in the airspace. You remember we asked that question yesterday, and we ended up saying we don't have any proof to it. Now, this question that we're asking here seems to be taking for granted that the entire basis of the problem of kli cheres in the mikdash and why they need breaking is because they absorbed from the korbanos. That absorption becomes notar, and that becomes asur, and then we won't be able to use it again. But we never decided that. So it's a question of precisely what is meant by the Gemara's question over here. Some understand Rashi to be saying that that the Gemara here is assuming that actually we do know the answer to that. We're making an assumption that it's entirely based on the Bliya. Others learn very interestingly that what the Gemara is doing over here is actually addressing that question. So in other words, it's saying, if in fact the entire Hakpada would have been in the issue that we had before, which was raised as a question, that the entire Hakpada would be on Bliya, then how could you explain the fact that the Torah wanted us to break these Klei Cheres all over the place? All we need to do is to have an actual kiln. And if we have a kiln, we can simply have that kiln running all the time. As soon as we finish using a Klei Cheres, take the Klei Cheres, put it back into the kiln, refire it, and then it would become completely heated the same way it was made initially, and at that point it would no longer have any kind of Bliya in it. It must be that even that way you wouldn't be able to do it. Now that's just one consideration. Now look, there's other considerations, and that is, how about the Gezeira of Chayes Alayhu? Is there no problem of Chayes Alayhu when we go ahead and we restore it to a kiln, to be marzir lekivshonot, and chayes alayhu is only because of the uneven heating that we get when we put coals into a container that isn't normally done that way? That's possible. And in fact, some learn, and paskin from here, halacha lemaisa, that if you do put a klei cheres back into a kiln, then there's no problem of this gezeira, and it would be completely kosher, because that's what Gemara seems to be saying. Others learn that the point here is not that it's a kiln, but the point is that it's done in the Migdash. Remember that we have this klal b'klal, it's called Kohanim Zrizimhein. So because of the din of Kohanim Zrizimhein, remember that many gezeiras called Shvusim were not made in the Migdash. So if we weren't gozer in the Migdash, then even if there would be a chashash of Shema Chayes Alayhu, it would still not apply in the Migdash, which would mean that the only problem would be mamish in the Migdash. That's what would be an alternative approach to this sugya. Now, in that event, we wouldn't be able to bring a raya from here that you could actually, halacha lemaisa, go ahead and put something back into a kiln. So this is a very rich sugya halacha lemaisa, and many paskin indeed that the halacha is based on this wonderful sugya that you can be metayer the cheres as long as it's put back into a kiln, and there's no chashash that shema mitbarei v'chayes alayhu v'mitbarei. Now, the answer to this comes totally out of left field. The answer is, you're absolutely right. Theoretically, we would be able to do that. Except that you're not allowed to cause pollution in Yerushalayim. So how could we have a kiln that would be burning all the time if it would cause pollution? That's the answer. Lefi she'ein osim kivshonot b'Yerushalayim. So now this, I'm sorry, but this takes us further afield over here, because the truth is, it's very funny to say this, isn't it? I mean, what about the fact that the Torah gave us this mitzvah directly? Now you're telling me the Torah couldn't figure this out? Like, why not just say, go ahead and heat up the klei cheres? So that, the Mefarshim explained, that's no question, because the mitzvah was given in the Mishkan. But now that we arrived in Yerushalayim, we need to understand, is the mitzvah supposed to be mekuyam in that fashion, and it's actually needs to be broken mamish, or is it simply that the Torah is makbid on the Bliya? If the Torah is makbid on the Bliya, now that we have a permanent place, obviously I'm going to drag a kiln around with you, but you could make a kiln in Yerushalayim, and that would be there in the Azor, and you just finish using a kli, pop it back into the next round in the kiln, right? So that would be the question. And the solution, says Rabbi Zera, is because of our gezeiros against pollution in Yerushalayim. So this is part of that gezeira. And in general, you're not allowed to have any heavy industry in Yerushalayim that generates smoke. And the consideration over here was for ruining the binyanim of Yerushalayim, which are made out of such pretty Yerushalayim stone, and we don't want them covered with soot. So if you're going to start making kivshonot, in no time at all, Yerushalayim is going to look like those ugly Western cities like London and Paris and Rome, and that's the last thing that we want. So Abaye Taina is, okay, I understand. But there's other pollution takanas, aren't there? I mean, are you allowed to make these big garbage dumps in the middle of the Azara? You've got these thousands of kli cheres, and now you've got exactly the problem of the plastic bottle issue that we have today. Can you imagine what happens if every time somebody is cooking something in the Beis HaMikdash, now it's got to be broken? Good heavens, and now what? So, v'chi osin ashpatot ba'azorah. And you're saying we don't make kilns. Okay, but what? We do make garbage dumps. I don't understand why one pollution takana is more important than the other pollution takana. And says the Gemara, Abaye forgot a very important Kabbalah that we have. Ishtamitete, he forgot for a moment, Hadatani Shmaya b'Kal Nevo. What Shmaya taught us when he was in Kal Nevo, that Shivrei Kli Cheres Nivloim b'Mekoman, one of the Asura Nisim that used to take place b'chol yom in the Beis HaMikdash, is that when the Kli Cheres was broken in the kiyum of this mitzvah, it would be swallowed up into the floor of the Azara, and therefore there would be no problem of Ashpatot. Now that is definitely a very effective and very advanced technology to just put the garbage, put your bottle down on the counter, and it disappears into the atomic disintegrator. So that would be wonderful. But since that's the case in the Azara, so we don't have to worry about our plastic bottles in the Azara, and therefore our prime concern would be not to have the soot that's coming out of the non-atomic disintegrator, which is a good old-fashioned kiln. That we don't want. Ask the Gemara, okay, but then let's go back to the problem that we had before. Why did Reb Nachman say that Rabbi Barvua said that we had to make the oven in the Beis HaMikdash out of metal, of all crazy things to make an oven out of? So they had to make it out of metal. Now, I mean, according to this, there should be no problem of making it out of cheres, because you just said the only problem we have with cheres is on kidderot, but on a tanur, which is normally heated up from inside, we don't have a problem. So why can't we just make it out of cheres now that you're saying this? Well, I mean, that's because of another problem. The other problem is, again, this is out of left field, because it's not what we were discussing. We said before, when we had this original question and we thought it was nogea, the elements that we wondered whether you need to have a blia in order to aser, or whether you only need to have an afia in order to aser, right? Or a tzli in order to aser. So we brought this up then when we were discussing it yesterday. Then we said, well, there's always going to be a blia because you have to cook the lechem apanim and you have to cook the shtei alechem and menachos, remember? But here, we've got the same issue, but for a totally different reason. Besides the regular mincha, so regular mincha, remember, goes through a process of kiddush b'kli before we go ahead and we process it. The thing is, though, that the shtei halechem and the lechem haponim, they actually do not go through such a thing, and as opposed to a normal mincha, we had to put it into a kli sharis. There was no need for the regular kli sharis with the lechem aponim. And when it came to the shtei alechem, those things didn't even need to be done in the azara because you did not use the actual shemen. There was no shemen. And because of that, you didn't ever necessarily put it into a kli sharis. So since their afiyah was in the tanur, And it's very possible that even Kiddushat Tan B'Tanur, they needed to be Mekudesh by the Kli Sharis, which would be the Tanur itself. But that means that we had to make the Tanur into a Kli Sharis. And we do not make a Kli Sharis out of Cheres, as we're going to see later on. That there's a machlokas out of Darshan, the pasuk about Asiyas HaKelim. But one thing is for sure, even according to the Shita, Rabbi Shimon, who says that your Isaac Kli Sharis from, that's Dafka Chanukah Sugyat, because it was a question of the menorah. How did they build the menorah at the time of the Chashmonaim when the Greeks had wrecked everything? So, okay, so they made a menorah out of wood. This was actually at the time of Ezra when we first came. It was cheap and we couldn't afford it. So, okay, so it was made out of wood. So, but wood, he says, is still kosher. But cheres is not kosher because that was the last thing, even if you're darshan beribu yumiyute, you would not allow it to be wood, to be cheres. So since it's cheres, that's what it was about. It had nothing to do with the dinim of kashrus at all. So it turns out that we were working off of the wrong initial conceptions yesterday. So afilu, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. So even in the end, where Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda paskins that we can make a menorah, we can make a menorah out of eights. He only said that you can do it out of eights. Avod echeres lo. Okay. So I said Reb Shimon before I met Reb Yossi. Reb Yitzchak bar Yehuda, Havirago kameda rami bar choma. So we also had a fascinating story that was nogea, just very agav, was nogea arsugia, a very sweet story. So Reb Yitzchak bar Yehuda, he was a Talmud of Rami Bar Choma and his yeshiva, and he left that yeshiva, and he went to learn in Brisk, which in those days was Rav Sheshes. Okay, so Rami Bar Choma, he didn't have one of these super-duper hard-to-get-into yeshivas. He just was interested in sitting and learning. So one day, Rami Bar Choma meets Rav Yitzchak, who had left his yeshiva. So he says to Rav Yitzchak, no, you know what they say. They say, Al kafta naktan recha atila l'yade. You know, so when the count shakes your hand, so you're already smelling like a rose. So that's what you think. You think now that you're a brisker, you're already the brisker rov. That's what you think. And you're smelling like a brisker. So you think, Misham de'azalta lach l'kami to Rav Sheshes, so just you got into Rav Sheshes, the yeshiva, and now you're learning by Rav Sheshes, and now you're another Rav Sheshes, you know? Havi l'chaki Rav Sheshes. That's why you leave my yeshiva, to go learn over there, you know, because I can't provide you with that special kind of reach. Omar Lein, no, chas v'shalom, lam mishum hochi. I didn't go just to be known as a brisker. I went there because of a very serious problem I have. Every time I ask my Rebbe, a shayla, you always tell me an answer that's based on a svara. Okay, then like years later, I end up finding a mishnah or a brisa, and I realize it's a raya against your svara. So then I have to drop your svara, because you don't have any basis except your own svara, and a brisa or a mishnah is docha your svara. And what happens is that kimashkach namasnisa parchala. Whenever I find something that a Tana said, I have to throw out your Torah. When I ask Rav Sheshes a question, he doesn't answer me from a svara. He answers me from a mishnah or a brayta. See, even if I'll find an anti-mishnah brayta, I don't have to drop it because smach lokas tanoim and he paskin like one or the other. That's fine. So I prefer living a life where I know I can rely on my piskei halachas than to learn by you where I don't know that I can rely on it. Even if I find a kasha, when it comes to Rav Sheshes, it's only a question of a machlokas tanaim. It's a matnita or matnita. It's an argument of one brighter with another. So I don't have to drop his psak. Omale Sarami Bar Choma said, look, every svara I tell you, I'm telling you, you can go out and you'll find a brayta or a mishnah that says like me. What's the matter? You're too lazy to go find out a brayta like me. Go find a brayta like me. Go ahead. I challenge you. Ask me a question and see if I give you a svara whether you can't find a brighter that's a right. Go ahead. You'll see, it'll be just like a brisa. Okay, says Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, I got a good question for you. I've been wondering what the din would be if you were mevashel b'miktzat kli, ta'un rika v'shtifa, o eno ta'un. This din of rika v'shtifa, let's say that it was just a small area. So let's imagine you have like a pot that has a lower section in it. You cooked only in that lower section. Would you need to do Marika Vishtifa on the entire pot, or would you only do Marika Vishtifa on the area that it was cooked in? So Rami Bar Choma said, I'm telling you, Mitzad HaSfora, Eino Tom. You do not need to do Marika Vishtifa on the whole pot, because it should be the same as Hazah. What's the din of the Mechatas? We learned before the Mechatas, if it goes on only part of the Beged, only that part of the Beged requires the washing. You don't need to wash the entire Beged. So it's the same din over here. After all, it's all part of that same Parsha. So Marika Vishtifa should be exactly the same. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda says to Rami Bar Choma, excuse me, but that's not what it says in the Braita. You said I'll find a Braita. I've looked around, and it doesn't say that. So Rami Bar Choma said, well, I don't know. I mean, it must be, because it's Bistavra Kebeged, isn't it? If the Beged is not Ton Kivus, except in the Mokom Adam, Avkli Eno Ton Riga V'shtifa Elo B'Mokom Bishul. So I don't know how it could possibly not have said like that. Omar Leis, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda said to him, Rebbe, it's not the same. Mi dami, dam lo mifa'afeya, bisho mifa'afeya. First of all, blood does not spread through an entire beget. The blood stains where it stains, and then it stops moving. Masha Enkin, we were talking about when you cook, the taste actually ends up, because of its oiliness, it ends up being absorbed throughout the entire kli, and it actually penetrates all around. So how can you bring a raya from one? And look, I understand your svara, but you want me to tell you the braita that I warned you that was braita, that it was different? This is the braita. The old Tanya, listen to this. Chomer b'haza'a mimerika v'shtifa, v'chomer b'merika v'shtifa mihaza'a. There's some ways in which the dam that hits a beged is more chomer than the din of merika v'shtifa, which is in that same parsha. And there's some ways that merika v'shtifa is more chomer than the dam. Chomer b'haza'a. Haza'a is more chomer in the fact that haza'a is applicable to any type of korban chatas, whether it's a chatas apchitzana, or whether it's a chatas apnimis, like we said before in the Mishnah. And the other thing is that it's also would be chal, this chiev of wiping, washing off the beged, even if you didn't do the zrik of the dam on the mizbeach, you'd have to still get it off of the beged, right? So it's yeshlef de zrika. When it comes to merika v'shtifa, remember, since we learned from the fact that it says that kol zachar b'kohanim yochulua, so from there we learned that only those things that are edible are going to create the chiyav of merika v'shtifa. So that would mean that the chataot apnimiot, which are not edible and they're burned, so they have no chelik that's edible, they would not be mechayev yom merika v'shtifa. And because of that, also the dam that wasn't zoruk is not yet matir the basur b'achila, and therefore, if you cook that basur, it would not require merika v'shtifa. So therefore, masha enke merika v'shtifa. Now I'll tell you dinim that are more chomer by merika v'shtifa. Merika v'shtifa is noheges bein b'kotche kachim, bein b'kachim kalim. So according to the Tanakama that we had in the Mishnah, you would be chayev in merika v'shtifa on any type of kadesh. And furthermore, here comes the part that's straight against Rami. Furthermore, Bisho b'miktzata kli ton rika v'shtifa b'kol hakli. Oy vavoy. So if you cooked in just a little part of the kli, you would be mechayev to do marika v'shtifa in the entire kli, which is not what you said. Masha ain came ba'azah. So obviously the brayta does not agree with you. Yeah, said Rami Bar Chama. Oh well, what can you do? Itanya tanya. If it's a brayta, I guess you got me. Right, so I guess he did not get an old student re-registered back in his yeshiva. Anyway, but what's actually the svara? The time of Mike. Why do we say that you have to do Marika Vishtifa on the entire kli? Amar kra ve'im b'chli nechoshet bushala afilo b'miktzat hakli. So what does it say? Kli cheres asher tevushal bo yishaver. So then that means that as opposed to Kli Cheres, over here we're talking about in the Kli Nechoshes, which is not the way that it said it by the Kli Cheres. And therefore it seems to be saying anywhere in that Kli, it would be Mukhuyev in Murak Veshutav Bamayim. Now we have our question of the Machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, about whether Kachim Kalim are Chayiv in Marika Veshtifa or only Kachim Kachim. So the Tanakam has said, Echad Kachim Kachim, Echad Kachim Kalim are Chayavim in Marika Veshtifa. And Rabbi Shimon says, Kachim Kalim are not Chayiv in Marika Veshtifa. So where is the basis in the Pasuk for such opinions? Tana Rabbana. Since it says in that Pasuk, it uses the opening, remember, is Zot Torat HaChatat. That's pretty clear that these are dinim in the Chatat. So I would have thought, if that's the case, then they're only in the Chatat. Emi Yala Chatat? How do we know to include all other Kachim? Talmud Lomar, Kodesh Kodashimi, and that means anything which is Kodesh, which sounds a little ridiculous because Kodesh Kodashim sounds like it's only Kachim Kachim and not Kachim Kalim. Okay, we can obviously ask that. And therefore, the Tanakhama says, look, it's any type of Kodesh. So Yochoshani Marbeta Truma. So you might think that if you cook Truma, you're going to have to also do Marika Vishtifa. Tamud Lomar, Ota. Since it says, Kol Zachar B'Kohanim, Yochal Ota. So we learn from there, Ota and only Ota. Because it's Kodesh Kodashimi. That's how the Pasuk introduces the Kodesh Kodashim. And that means that it's introduced together with a miut. Only Ota, only Kachim, Prat Metruma. So says Rabbi Yehuda is the Tanakhama of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon, I'm there? No. Only Kachim. Kachim Tunim Rika Vishtifa and Kachim Kalim Einan Tunim Rika Vishtifa. I mean, it seems to me, when I learned how to read, Kodesh Kadashim means Kodesh Kadashim, and not Kachim Kalim. So I don't know what you're talking about. How in the world does Kodesh Kadashim come to be Marba, even Kachim Kalim? I don't understand. Well, that's a good point. My time to Rabbi Yehuda. How does Rabbi Yehuda get from the word Kachim Kachim that we would include even Kachim Kalim? Maybe it means what it says, Dafka Kachim Kachim. So my time to Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, look, the very fact that it says Ota, when it talks about Kodesh Kodashimi. So, Kol Zachar B'Kohanim Yochal Ota Kodesh Kodashim means that the Ota is necessary to be Mamaya Truma, and that must mean that the Kodesh Kodashim that we're talking about is anything other than Truma. So if I need a Pusik to tell me not Truma, I obviously am saying yes, Kachim Kalim. Because if even Kachim Kalim were excluded by the Pusik of Kodesh Kodashimi, then I don't need a pasuk to tell me anything about Truma, do I? So the very fact that he introduces it with the miut, if I need otalamute Truma, it's obviously the Kachim Kalim are to an Imarika Vishnifa. Says Rabbi Shimon, yes, that's all very nice. But you forget that I have a completely different understanding of what that ota means. I don't learn that it means what you say. I don't learn that it means ota prat latruma. I used ota, if you recall, to tell me Ota means Kshera velo Psula. And that was the additional, remember, we had the Machlokas before, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it had the Shas HaKosher, it doesn't matter. What was the Mokar for that? Ota, we had two separate Miyutim, and that would exclude a Chatas that was not only not kosher from the beginning, but even if it's currently not kosher and had a Shas HaKosher. So we needed two Miyutim. Therefore, we had first use that comes before this pasuk. I don't know why you need, I don't agree. There is no Ota telling me Ota velo Truma. And therefore, when it says Kodesh Kodashim, it means exactly that. And obviously, I don't need a pasuk to tell me not Truma. Of course not Truma. Even Kachim Kalim not. It says Beferish Kachim Kachim. So everything is very consistent here with the Machlokas that we had earlier. The only problem is that it seems that we're taking for granted that Truma definitely does not need Marika Mishtifa, right? I mean, the question is, does it not need it because of Ota, or does it not need it because even Kachin Kalim don't need it? So certainly Truma doesn't need it. But is that true? The Truma Oboi, Mishtifa Umarika, Vatanya, Kedera Shabo. Now here is the first time that we are crossing over from the normal dinim of Kashas into the dinim of Marika Mishtifa. So obviously, a lot of what we've been talking about is nogea, because ex post facto, we understand that these dinim of how it is that we paskin megabe, the dinim of kashrus bechlau, and normal things, normal mixtures. So we talked about a few of those implications. Can you kasher klicheres? We talked about, is there such a thing as a difference between the way in which you're going to kasher something that was originally heter, or something that was originally Isser, which over here we're talking about before it became Nosar. So at the time that it was absorbed, it wasn't Isser, and things like that. But up until now, we've had sort of a barrier between our normal Yeridea issues and these particular questions that we have over here. This, by the way, one of the other questions would be Nogea. If Marika Vishtifa is only a din in the part of the kli that you would have used, so that would have meant that according to his shita, Rami Bar Chama, would that mean that you could just do hagala on a particular part, and that means that Marika Vashtiva is just a chumra kodesh? Is that really true in terms of the dinam of Yeridea, that you do not have to do hagala on an entire kli because the Gemara is asking whether you need Marika Vashtiva? And some other questions that are coming up, which I'll point out as we go, are Nogea, all of the dinim. So here's the first time that we're coming across this boundary. You're telling me that Truma doesn't require Marika Vishtifa. Now, I assumed that meant that if a Kohen cooked Truma in a Kli, that then it wouldn't matter, and a non-Kohen would be able to use that Kli for cooking regular Chulin, and he wouldn't have to worry about the fact that the kli was a truma kli. But is that true? Doesn't the Braita say that, look, when you're talking about basar v'cholov, if you had a pot and you use this pot for cooking meat, kidera should be shelba basar, lo yevashel b'cholov. You can't cook milk in it because you would then be making a tam of basar v'cholov. And if you did cook it, whatever you cooked, if you cooked milk in it, then if the meat had given any taste of meat into that milk, which is the normal echad b'shishim, so then it's benosin tam. Continues the Braita, what if you cooked truma in a pot? Lo yivash b'chulin. You cannot cook chulin in it, and if you do, and it has a taste of the truma, then only a kohen's going to be allowed to eat it. An im bishel, but no same time. So if that's the case, it's clear that if you had cooked truma, so that means you need to do Marika Vishtifa, right? I mean, like, what's the difference? So I understand what you say. The Torah tells me that Ota, you don't need to do it on truma. Well, what about the dinam of kashrus? Omra Abaye. Now, let's not get confused between the dinim of kashrus and the normal halachas. The point is, didn't we just get finished saying that whether you cooked in the entire pot or you just cooked in a separate small area of the pot, you would have to do Merikah v'Shtifa on the whole pot? Okay. Is that true about cooking meat in the pot? Would you have to do a hagola on the whole pot in order to make it a milchika pot or a parva pot? Or do you just need to clean out and be magil the part that you would cook the meat in? Well, Truma is the same question, isn't it? Now before we learned that thing was true, legabe kodesh, but we don't see that that's true in terms of cooking Truma. That's the point. So we said before that Bishop b'miktsas kli, ton meruk merika v'shnifa b'kol hakli. Isn't that what we said? Well, when we say that, it's because of the special din of merika v'shnifa. Remember how we learned it out of the pasuk? B'kli. That's a din in kachin. But what about the din in yeridaya today, which would include basar v'cholav issues, truma issues? Would I, in fact, need to do a hag'olah on the entire kli or not? So that's what the difference is. Truma is not included in Merikah b'Shtifa, and now Truma lo tzarech ela makom bishul. Therefore, says Abaye, when it comes to Truma, you would not have to do with hag'olah on the entire pot. And because of that, we don't say that the whole pot automatically becomes osur. Now, what about when it comes to basar v'cholav, you know? Now, here we have some overall klolim, which is going to require Ori to have some tolerance for the magic wand, because Gavi is going to write down a klal, which is called Cham Miktsasei Cham Kulay. We have a klal in terms of kashrus that if you have a pot which is hot enough to be boleya in one place, we consider the bliya to have been gone through the entire pot, in which case, if you're mevashel b'miktsas kli, it becomes osur as if you cooked in the entire kli. And you do need hagola, absolutely. So this was the famous psak of the Rashba and the Teres Abayis, that even though this Gemara says, according to Abaye, that in Truma you do not say that, but that's because we're makel at certain dinim legabe truma, as he explains, because it's not usur for everybody, so we don't give it the same chumra as we would with isrim. But isuri achila, that if you cooked non-kosher food, that you definitely would have to kosher the whole thing. So that would be a tremendous chiddush. That would mean that if you have heter, you actually do not need to do a hagol on the whole kli, because the blia is only in that place. That's what Abaye is definitely saying over here, no? So there are many poskim who say that if the blia is on something that is mutter, then you don't have to kasher the entire kli. It's a major, major issue that comes out of this crossover that we just had over here. Now, Rava says, I'll tell you what the difference is. So apparently Rava argues on this, and it would only be true Ali without Abaye, which would be another reason why we wouldn't do it la halacha. So Rava Amar lo tzricha, you know what the difference is? Can you do Merikah v'Shtifa in, let's say, wine? Or could you do it in mazut? You have wine mixed with water. So now you don't have any boiling water, but you have boiling wine. Would you be able to kasher your kelim in boiling wine? So the din of merikah v'shtifa, as it says in the pasuk, is b'mayim. Murak v'shutav b'mayim. So over there, the Torah says you cannot use anything but water. But if it's only a din in the physics of it and not in the mitzvah of it, so then you could use any liquid, and that liquid would be able to be useful for hagola. That would be the difference. So there we learn b'mayim v'lo b'yayin. B'mayim, it says in the Pharisee, but not b'mazug, in diluted wine. Basha Inkein, if you're go, of course you need to do Hagola, but Hagola is not Marika Vishtifa. Marika Vishtifa has to be done in water, and Hagola could even be done in Yayin. Amazing. And indeed, we learn from here, again, it's the Rashba who learns from here, that based on this sugya, you would be allowed to use any liquid and not only water. The thing is that not everyone agrees with the Rashba. The Ramban argues on the Rashba. He says you should only do Hagala B'mayim. And the Halakha L'maisa is if you did do it B'yayin, so this is Pascha B'gabit Pesach, if there's enough time before Pesach to still redo the Hagala, you should redo it in Mayim. But if not, it's certainly 100% reliable, and you'd be allowed to use your Chometz Kelim that you were magil in Yayin. You know, I guess you overordered that year. But anyway, so that would be another amazing crossover in the sugya. Rabba Bar Ula Amar, I'll give you another difference between just kashering something in Marika Vishtifa. Lo tzricha la'ada elada amar mar. So here we have a reference to what's coming up, that's coming up on Mitzvah Shabbos, that we have a machlokas, what Marika Vishtifa means. According to Rebbe, Marika Vishtifa doesn't have anything to do with Hagola. And all of the sugyas that we were discussing, which assumed that Marika Vishtifa achieves a Hagola of Isser, according to Rebbe, is not true. The dinim of Hagola are just the givens, in like from Klei Midyan. You have to get rid of the tam. Okay, that's one thing. But Marika Vishtifa is a din in Sonin. And Marika Vishtifa Machlokas Rishonim doesn't mean one is on the inside of the Kli, one is on the outside of the Kli, or you have to do twice on the inside of the Kli. That will, when we get to, we'll speak about more. But the thing is that according to Rabbi Shita, Marika Vishtifa is both Bitsonin. Masha'inkin, in Truma, you don't have to use that Sonin. And Ha Afilo Bechamin. Now, this is also a crossover problem, because I'm sure as you're familiar, after we do the Hagola, we always pour cold water over it, right? That's based on this sugya, which we're about to see, is the Marika Vishtifa of Rebbe, the Chiddush of cold water Bichlal, or is it the fact that you have to do it twice? This is part of the Machlokas Rashi in the Rambam. And the Rambam, as we'll see. And so when the Gemara says over here that Marika Vishtifa, that's done bitson, and ha filo b'chamin, means that when it comes to Truma, which would mean when it comes to Basar V'Cholov, all you need to do is the Hagola, you don't need to do the additional washing off with the tzonin. Wait a minute, but that's only true according to Rebbe. As we're going to see, Mitzvah Shabbos, Rebbe's Shita is that Marika Vishtifa is Bitsonein. That, okay, you could say that's a clear difference. But according to the Man D'Omar, that says Marika is Bechamin and Shtifa is Bitsonein. So according to him, that means if you say not Truma, so then not Truma should mean that you don't need to even do Hagola. No? What are you going to say then? As I showed you that you do need Hagola for Truma. So when you say Ota, so how is that Mamaya Truma? No. Because even if it needs Hagola, you don't need the Shtifa Yeterata. So that's the question of what the Shtifa Yeterata mean. So in other words, if what we're talking about, that the difference is whether you need to do the cold water inside and outside, which is the way that Rashi understands Marika Vishtifa, whereas the Rambam holds that Marika Vishtifa means you need to wash it off twice. So then the language of Shtifa Yeterata could mean only the second time, right? In which case the normal Hagala you would still have to do once. So that would actually be a machlokas. Is this just a minhag that we do the shtifa after the hagola? Is it mamish min hadin, or is it just like a minute that people have. So that's the question. The shtifa yeterata, if you're learning it the way Rashi is learning it, it means you don't need that shtifa after the Hagola, which means that when we do a shtifa after Hagola, it's just like a minhag. But if you learn shtifa yeterata means the second shtifa, then it would mean that the first shtifa is actually necessary. So this is a big machlokas halacha lemaisa. Most of the poskim hold it's just like a minhag, and that based on this sugya, you would not be mechuyev to do shtifa. If you did it without shtifa, it would still be a perfectly kosher hagola. Nonetheless, obviously, it is the norm to do it that way. Wow, a lot of amazing dinim that you'd never expect would be coming out of Zvachim end up being nogea halacha lemaisa from these dinim of Marika v'shtifa in the Beis HaMikdash. Lovely.